out at the congregation to see if anyone is old enough to remember the 1940s. Because if you did, or you were a member of that great generation, you remember Phil Harris's song, "Some Little Bug Is Going to Get You Someday." And that's exactly what's happened to Libby. Some little bug has felled her for just a few days. Have you ever thought about our great English prayer book? How those words flow and how wonderful it is and how proud we are of that compilation. But the problem with our familiarity with those words is that sometimes they go right over our head. So this morning, before we approach the altar to receive the sacrament, I want to reflect upon the words, "the body of Christ." First, think about this fact. The words, "the body of Christ," can mean at least three different things. At the Eucharist, it refers to the bread that we place upon the altar or the host. But the words can also have other meanings. One of the other meanings could be the body of Jesus of Nazareth, of that person who was once born, who grew up, who reached out to touch and cure the sick, who sat down with publicans and sinners and spoke of God's love and was nailed to the cross. The body of Jesus of Nazareth was the instrument through which God's love was made a fact in this world. We say sometimes glibly, God was incarnate. We mean he was embodied in Jesus of Nazareth. Now that could be one meaning of the phrase, "the body of Christ." But St. Paul uses it in another way. He speaks of the church as being the body of Christ. You became a member of that body when you were baptized. And St. Paul calls the church the body of Christ because it is God's will that his love continue to be embodied through Jesus and his disciples and the followers that have come along down through the ages in the church, the body of Christ. These words, "the body of Christ," can point not only to the bread on the altar, not only to the body of Jesus of Nazareth, but also to the church. How can these three definitions relate one to the other? I think the best way to think about it is to look at the bread as it passes through the service of the Eucharist. The bread, in a wonderful way, is always related to the body of Christ. The first thing that happens to the bread in the Eucharist is that it is brought forth and placed on the altar. In our present way of doing things, lay people come forward and they present the bread at the offertory. But it wasn't always done that way. In the earliest days, there were no church buildings, and the church and the Eucharist were celebrated at the break of dawn in private homes. The people came to that service, and there was a deacon standing there in front of the altar with a basket in hand. There, the worshipers did not make their way to the church through the darkness of the morning empty-handed. They came with some bread from their kitchen in their own hands. They had some wine in a jar from their house and money for the furtherance of their work. So the plain bread was offered and it stood clearly for the plain people who brought it. Much has changed in our day, but the bread that we place on our altar still stands for you and for me as we offer ourselves to God and place ourselves at His disposal. Think about last week. I imagine we can all think of many things that we wished that we had never done, or things that we wished that we had said, or should never have said. A mixed bag of good and disappointing elements of human nature. So let's now think again about that bread. What happens next to the bread? Two things. The Lord takes it and blesses it and then breaks it. First, He takes it. God does not reject what is offered to Him. He accepts us all. He takes us into His own hands. He does not accept you as you appear to your neighbor. He accepts you rather as you are in your heart. The God from whom no secrets are hid does not reject us as being too dirty or evil or selfish or weak or foolish. He takes us, and that is His blessing. That is His mercy. That is His love. But He not only takes the bread, He breaks the bread. He is not going to take us and love us and somehow keep us as household pets. No, He is going to take us and fashion us according to His purpose. Therefore, our selfishness needs to be broken. We have to learn to pray sincerely, and more than just pray, to live, not my will, but thine be done. For God's purposes will not be accomplished until we are broken. So God takes the bread, and He breaks the bread, and it is only then that the bread can truly be called the body of Christ, for then it is consecrated. But note what is consecrated, not just the bread and the wine as they have been presented, but the miracle of the Eucharist, I believe, is that God not only transforms those elements on the altar, but He also transforms you and me from sinners into something new, into the body of Christ Himself. Amen. God takes us and forgives us and gives us His Spirit, claiming that we are members of His body through which He will work in the world. He has decided that He is going to use your lips to speak the words of His love and encouragement and forgiveness, so that others may hear that word today in the world. He has decided to use your ears to listen, so that no one will have to go through life with no one who ever has listened or understood or even cared about them. He has decided to take your hands and to reach out and cure the sick and feed the hungry and provide place for the homeless who need shelter. Through your strength, He wants to overturn injustice, evil, and oppression. You, dear friends, are the body of Christ. The miracle is that God has made you His body to accomplish His work in the world. And what is the last thing that happens to that bread? It is given back to you. We offered ourselves as plain human beings, just as we are, to God, under the symbols of bread. But He takes us and breaks us and blesses us and gives us our life again, back and transformed. He abides in us and we in him. We receive a new life, forgiven, accepted, affirmed, empowered. We gave one thing and we receive something back, quite anew. A long time ago, God chose to be embodied in this world because he loved it dearly. He was embodied in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. Today, God still chooses not to be just words, but to be deeds. Not just to be a theory, but a fact embodied in this world. So this morning, we all passed through the door and we came in here as a gathering of people. But we know that after we receive the sacrament, we will go out of the church as the body of Christ, proclaiming God's kingdom and ready to be his instruments of love, tenderness, and sweetness to savor life itself. Amen.
Amen.